Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Settle down. Welcome to Deadly Cast, a podcast about sci-fi's Deadly Class, a new show that they are doing based on the comic by Rick Remender and Wes Craig. I am your headmaster, Alex. I will be one of the hosts of the podcast. Please introduce yourself, whether you're also a headmaster.
I am also a headmaster.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what's your name?
Hey, Justin. Name's Justin. I'm your headmaster.
I'm Pete. And
as mentioned, this is Deadly Cast, Deadly Class podcast. We host a regular show called Comic Book Club that is live every week at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. We've been comic book fans for a very long time, if you know, listen to us. We also do a ton of TV podcasts. We do a Riverdale podcast, a Krypton podcast, if you're a sci-fi fan happening to tune into this. We do a Legion podcast, a bunch of others. You can all check them out on our website, comicbookclublive.com. But this is the first episode. We're going to talk about the pilot for Deadly Class, which was actually posted back in December, but officially premieres in January. So we're splitting the difference. And for this first episode, to give you the rundown of how this is going to work, in case you've never listened to a podcast before.
Just keep listening.
Rule number one, out.
Keep listening.
Rule number one, don't turn it off. Don't ever turn it off, whatever you do. Okay. We're going to talk about our history with the comic book, Rick Remender. Pete got into a fight with him once, so that was nice. We'll recap all of that. And then we'll talk about the episode. We'll recap the major events of this first episode. And then at the end, we're going to give out some superlatives.
Yes,
superlatives to the characters. We'll see how that goes.
Yes.
For this first episode there.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. The first part is called The Reveal.
Someone has some homework already.
The third part.
It's the third part. The Prestige. He's from Chicago, England, in that movie.
Let's talk about the comic Deadly Class. Now, I've read every issue of it, a big Rick Remender fan. I really enjoyed it a lot. The art in particular by Wes Craig is phenomenal.
Yes.
That's one of the main things that keeps me coming back every single issue. But we've also read Rick Remender's books for a really long time. One of the first things we talked about on our show back in the day was Fear Agent, of his first books. And
Great book. We talked about
it every single month. Loved it so much.
Such a great book.
Very excited about Deadly Class. I really enjoyed how anarchic it was. I liked the throwback to the 80s.
The comic you're talking about.
The comic book, yeah. I enjoyed that a lot. I do think one of the things, just to jump ahead a little bit, that I really appreciated about this pilot, which is different from the comic book, is it was written by Rick Remender, and I think it focuses it up quite a bit. We have a bunch of issues of Deadly Class, but it's spun off in a bunch of crazy directions almost immediately. This tends to bring it back. So I don't think that invalidates what happened to the comic book, but in a weird way, I actually appreciated this pilot a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want people who want their pure comic book translated directly to television or movies, I don't understand, because if I'm a fan of something, I want it to change a little bit. I don't need to see the same thing over again because I've already seen it, I've already imagined it, I've already can hear those voices. I want you to, especially if it's done by the creator, what fun that we get to have the same person adapting his own material into the television world. And I agree with you. I think it really does sort of use television and how we make television very wisely and mash up the source material to create something that has a focus and direction.
Now, you haven't read every issue, right?
Right. Deadly Class? I'm a huge Remender fan, but Deadly Class is one of the first or the only series of his that I haven't picked up the entire time. Wow. So,
any particular reason, or just because you read too many comic books?
I read too many comic books, and I think I missed a couple issues, and I never got back on track with it. It's one that I feel like I will, especially now that we're watching this show, I want to go back in and actually read.
I love Rick Remender as a human being, as a
you have a court order to say this, right?
As a writer, I have a love-hate relationship with him. He's done some of my favorite stuff, and then some of the stuff that I hate the most.
Like what?
Like Frankencastle.
Those of you who are not familiar with the character of the Punisher, at one point he was chopped up by Wolverine's son and left for dead, then put back together as a sort of a Frankenstein's monster called Frankencastle, became friends with some monsters. It was an awesome storyline. Nope. He's an asshole and didn't like it.
Well, yeah, that's not true. So
then you kind of yelled at Rick Remender about it at a convention, right?
Well, I think I yelled at him about something else. Or was it Frankencastle?
That would be crazy if it was something else.
You guys settled your beef, though, right?
Yeah, we did. We did.
And you just can't ever be within a certain parameter, yardage.
We're okay now.
Yeah. All right, that's
okay,
good.
Cool. He's right behind this door, and he's going to murder you.
That's fine.
That's why this is called Deadly Cast.
Someone dies every podcast.
There are three episodes.
So as far as the comic, I agree with you, Zalvin. The art was my favorite thing about it. It was amazing.
It's an ongoing comic book.
Okay, sorry. Yep. My apology.
Mostly specifying for the people listening at home, you can go pick it up on a monthly basis.
Yeah, but that's one strike that you just made.
Cool. So maybe I'll die first.
Two more strikes and the man with the knife comes out from behind the door.
I was very happy to see Remender on this as an executive producer as well. It makes me feel more comfortable with the project that the person who created it has a lot of say in what goes on the screen.
Makes you feel more comfortable that you can yell at them if necessary.
Yeah, definitely. Can't wait to see him at a con. But the problem I had with Deadly Class as a comic book was the fact that it was just a bunch of annoying teenagers who were really into killing people, and I couldn't quite understand what that was all about in a way that made me want to continue reading.
Couldn't understand the idea of a teenager who wants to kill a bunch of people?
Yep.
You, the angriest man that I know.
You, that's the correct. Adult that wants to kill a lot of people.
Okay. That's why you can't relate to it.
Yeah. I just never fell in love with the premise. It seemed like a kind of weird young version of Wanted, where it's like a cult of people who think murdering is cool and to justify whatever they need to just so they can run around and murder people. So I was a little trepidatious about checking out this show.
Well, I got to tell you, it's funny that you say that because not to keep... This is not lumping on the comic at all because, again, I really like the comic.
Right.
But if anything, it seemed totally not concerned most of the time with the actual assassin school. That it set up that concept in the first issue, in the first arc, and then immediately it felt like Remender was saying, hey, you know what the best part of school is? Skip it out of school.
Yeah, I agree completely. But I also think the reason I like the concept here so well is that it's like he uses that as a metaphor for just being a teenager and like being prone to lash out at anyone and anything that gets in your way and sort of being reckless and using violence and murder as the sort of heightened version of that for the entertainment value. And I think that is super smart.
Yeah, I disagree.
Great point.
You sound like a teenager.
Cool.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Man. good impersonation. We were doing the English thing real well.
Yeah.
But you're doing the teenager.
You're doing a teen,
real well.
Yeah.
Great. I was happy with the choices that this show made. I was very interested with a lot of the choices it made as far as like how they were going to tackle the things with the comic book. And also how you were saying, like, in this first app, it's not about the school all the time. Like, they go back to it every once in a while, but it's a lot of them outside the school, which I appreciated.
I thought it was the opposite, actually. I thought this episode was very focused on the school and how the school worked, or at least starting to introduce that.
Yeah.
It felt a lot more to me like an 80s movie. I mean, there's stuff that's pulled directly for the comic book, but giving it a little more time than they did in a 20-page book or 25-page book works better for me, frankly. But all this out of the way, why don't we jump into the episode
and
talk about it?
So we start, we're set in 1987, which really informs a couple things. The music for this first episode, anyway, is amazing.
Like,
really great.
So good. Really great.
Just throughout, scored really well. Like, points where the music is very subtle, other points where it really pops up and to great effect. Love that. And I also think setting in the 80s, while also maybe sort of being the writer's time when he was in high school, is also the 80s were like sort of a dystopian time where, like, life was a little cheaper, it felt like, in a lot of ways, both in pop culture and in the world, and it feels like that plays into the theme a lot here.
Well, the other thing that they're playing with a lot here, pretty specifically, is the idea that most of the 80s movies you see are about when there's losers, they're still kind of okay. Like, they're doing all right.
Yeah.
These losers are literally living on the streets. They're living in the worst parts of town. They're being chased by the cops. They're actually homeless. And it's all because of one man, Ronald Reagan, who crawls out of a TV at one point.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan gets a lot of heat in this.
Well, and I think that's fair. I think his legacy has eroded over time, and particularly looking back on what happened during his presidency. It has. I mean, I know a lot of people still look towards him and talk about the wonderful things that he done. But I think now we understand that, like, you know, he's kind of responsible for the AIDS crisis and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's not great.
Not great with the spending, things like that. Though Nancy Pelosi, the new House, Democratic House Speaker, referenced Ronald Reagan in her speech when she was...
Well, he did exist and do stuff. So.
No, but she was, like, big upping it.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah.
So
we kind of get...
we're going to talk about politics.
Nancy Pelosi.
Cool.
That's what I call her.
Because that's based on Lollapalooza.
Yeah, yeah. Because she rocks.
Yeah, I'd like to get away from talking about politics if we could, and then get into more of the show.
Let's get back to Ronald Reagan. So
Wong is the teacher in the school.
It's the headmaster of the school is Dr. Lin, the actor played Wong, Mr. Lin, sorry.
And actually, his last name is Wong. There's a lot of things going on here. Benedict Wong is the name of the actor. The character he plays on the show is called Master Lin. In Doctor Strange, he played a character named Wong.
Wong, right. So when I see him, I immediately think, Wong.
Here.
He's Wong. So Wong
is
talking.
No, but what do you say that it is confusing? So we tried to do a little backstory there.
Okay, cool. Appreciate the clarification. So Wong is telling kids how World War I was really started with the teenager, which was a very strong opening, I thought.
Well, I'll tell you guys before we get too deep into talking about the first 2 minutes of the TV show, which is what we do on every single podcast that we do, that run out of time. Let me give a brief overview of the plot of the episode.
You want to try to do things differently now?
Yeah, I'm just throwing it.
Oh, man.
Listen, this is my deadly class teaching you guys how to really podcast.
He's sort of the School of Rock version of Deadly Class.
Did you know that Shakespeare was the original TV recapper?
Yeah.
All right, so fucking recap it then.
Sure. There's a kid named Marcus who's on the streets. He ends up...
poor man Archie is what I like to call him.
I want to find out later. And he is...
You don't think that guy looks just like Archie?
No!
Like a cracked out version of Archie?
From
Archie
Riverdale?
Was really into drugs or something?
In the way that every person looks exactly like each other, sure. But in the way that different people are different, no.
All right. I kind of thought he had a real Archie quality to him.
Like evil Archie.
Sure. I just think he looked like a
cracked
out Archie.
Do you think he looks like Archie?
He doesn't look like him, but he's like the main character who like makes mistakes.
Cool.
I speak Pete.
Maybe I'm just too into Riverdale where I see Archie all over the place.
That's definitely.
Who else looks like Archie is Harry Potter.
What?
I'm just going to throw it out there.
That doesn't make any sense.
Another main character who makes mistakes.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Harry Potter's not as dumb as Archie is.
I don't know. He's a little dumb sometimes, so I think he's Archie. Also, Luke Skywalker, very
Archie. He's trying to choose between the Force next door and,
and the dark rich
the dark
Force.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, do what you want.
And there's your recap of Deadly Class. the first episode. So this kid named Marcus, he's on the run for the cops because he seemingly killed a bunch of people in a fire.
Lit the orphanage, right? On fire.
Lit the orphanage on fire. We haven't seen that event necessarily yet, but we find out a little bit about it. He ends up being recruited by a bunch of students at King's Dominion, which later we find out is a school for teen assassins. That includes Saya, played by Lana Condor.
Jubilee.
Jubilee from X-Men Apocalypse. Also, she's from To All the Boys I Loved Before, if you've seen that on Netflix. Maria, played by Maria Gabriella DeFaria. Willie, who ends up being one of his really good friends, played by Luke Tenney, and Billy, played by Liam James, who was the kid with the green mohawk.
Don't forget about Henry Rollins.
Yes, but he doesn't recruit him. So they end up recruiting him. He runs away at first, then ends up coming back to them and decides to join with King's Dominion, finds out the school is all sorts of fucked up. Very quickly finds out the different social classes. If you've ever seen any 80s movie, you know it's exactly what's going on, except for the fact that each social class is a different sort of gang. So you have a gang of racist white supremacists who are like the quote-unquote blonde cool kids.
The Dixie Mob.
You have the Vatos gang. I'm forgetting their full name.
Soto Vatos gang.
There's Goths. There's
the Preps, the Hessians, Final World Order, and the Kuroki Syndicate.
Yes. So all of these different gangs form the different social groups, and he needs to join one of them. Part of the problem is he immediately is approached by Maria, who seems to show some interest in him. Her boyfriend does not like that, so they end up coming to blows. But he doesn't actually like Maria. He actually likes Saya, because the way that Saya just Jubilee and Wong all over the place in this thing. The way that she recruited him was she gives him a smoocheroo on top of what's that tower called?
Tower of Pisa.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Yes, absolutely. It's a pretty famous tower that I'm blanking on the name of.
Oh, the tower from Two Towers.
Yep, that one.
That's Isengard. Isengard.
Yeah, Isengard. It's either Isengard or the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I honestly don't remember which. She gave him a kiss because she was told to by Master Lin.
He was going
to
kill himself, and she was like, "Hey, I'll make out with you. Life isn't so bad if you can make out with somebody."
Let's talk about that for a little bit, because we get a fun animated sequence. We get the backstory on Marcus's life.
The backstory is animated, which I was like, why the fuck isn't this done exactly like the comic?
The animation style?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I liked it. It was very bright, and the show itself is very dark, so the fact that the animation was brighter, if we had just dark animation and a darker show.
Are you saying why wasn't it Wes Craig's style?
Yeah, why wasn't it just...
I think the character designs were Wes Craig's character designs. Like, they look very similar to the comic book.
It was like a more animated version of Wes Craig style. We see a lot of Wes Craig style drawings, perhaps drawn by actual Wes Craig, throughout the series, throughout the episode.
But we see that
we find out that Marcus was having sort of a regular day with his parents when a woman committed suicide off of this tower, killing his parents, which put him in the orphanage.
She was like aiming for him.
Yeah,
she wasn't like that.
Not necessarily. I mean, she's jumping off the tower, but he ends up blaming Ronald Reagan because Ronald Reagan put essentially all of these people with mental difficulties back on the streets.
Took away funding for the psychiatric homes in the area. So then he's on the top of this tower and he legit goes for it. Sia grabs him and pulls him back.
Yeah. So he likes her. Maria likes him. Maria wants to get away from her boyfriend.
Yeah, Maria's setting him up.
Meanwhile, he meets a bunch of the losers in the school who are hanging out on the top smoking. They're talking about who they want to kill when they get out of King's Dominion. He tells everybody he wants to kill Ronald Reagan, and they all kind of laugh a little bit, though it seems like that's where the series is going. And then they get their first assignment this episode as well, which is to go out and kill somebody who deserves it and take evidence. And earlier on, we met a kind of mean homeless man who, it turns out, has been killing a bunch of other people in the homeless camp. Willie go to kill this dude. Willie can't do it. Marcus ends up killing him. They work together. They bond as friends, and they go back to King's Dominion.
And Marcus was this homeless sort of crazy person took his family picture.
Yeah.
And so he was boiling with rage. And so when they got down to it, he murdered him.
Right. So the general span of the episode is essentially about introducing King's Dominion, introducing the characters that we're going to be learning more about over the course of the series, and getting Marcus to ultimately make the decision that he has nowhere else to go and to take all this rage, as we talked about earlier, and channel it into being a King's Dominion is the right thing for him. And Master Lin takes him in, gives him a room, and sets him up in, again, a sort of sweet, fucked up way. So yeah. That's where we end, roughly speaking. That's the span of the episode. But let's talk about some of the best bits. Yep. What jumped out to you? What were you particularly interested in this episode?
There were a couple things I liked a lot. I liked the way that they break down the different social groups that we talked about. Like, it was very 80s movie. And sort of that mashing up 80s movie with a super violent 80s of 80s high school movie with sort of a bit of a Harry Potter thing here. The teachers are like the Henry Rollins character teaches poisons. They're learning their assassin skills. So it has that like dark arts style thing where each teacher has a different thing, which I think is really fun. That's going to be a great way to sort of segment each episode and give each episode an assignment theme.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope, again, that they continue with the school thing a little bit more, because I like that. And I always like those aspects of the Harry Potter movies and books as well. The third Harry Potter book is my favorite because they actually go to school for a while.
Yeah.
And it's fun to play in that world.
You love school.
I love school. I like going to school, and I miss it.
He's crying.
I just want to go back to school.
Another thing I liked a lot, there's this great sequence where Marcus is talking to Willie when they're on the way to the homeless area.
Oh, yeah, I was going
to
bring this up as
well. Of course, where they just straight up get into comic books, talking about how the best comics...
Yeah, he holds a gun to his head. That was pretty awesome.
He says, "You do not shit on the Dark Phoenix saga in front of me."
I love a man with that much conviction.
He hard reps Chris Claremont and John Byrne's run on Uncanny X-Men.
Fantastic.
Which was great.
That was great. What would you do that for? What run of comics, if somebody was dissing it, would you hold a gun to their head for?
Oh, I'd do that with a lot of comics.
Jesus, Pete.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, because you actually did hold a gun to Rick Remender's head about Frankencastle.
Yeah, but it's okay now.
It's totally cool. Everything's fine. There's no hard feelings. He is behind the door, and he is going to kill you.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Yeah, for me...
Starman?
Starman, definitely. You would definitely.
You would?
Put a gun to someone's head, like, "You do not. This is good comic book storytelling."
Yeah. If I was like, "Fuck you, Starman sucks."
Oh, boy. Guy got my gun out.
Yeah.
Shoot him.
Nice.
No, it's just a threat. Yeah. Because he doesn't mean it. Does he?
Ooh.
For me, the stuff that kind of stood out was I was very interested in that they kept referencing specific parts of history, you know, the World War II bit, the whole thing about...
So you're interested to find out more about this World War II?
No. If you would let me fucking continue. I thought it was interesting the way they were kind of showing their point about how one person can make a difference, or a group of people.
Yes.
So, like, the reason for their school is important. And they talked about that one Native American gang that stuck around, like, years after a lot were all murdered. Very interesting stuff. And, like, the kind of pushing this thing that there's nobility in killing, which, as a Punisher fan, was something that was kind of like, I don't know, like, this comic and this TV show pushes violence in a very interesting way that is like supposed to be for the betterment, but you're just not sure if it really is yet. You know what I mean?
I think the idea is it's probably not.
Right.
Yeah, I think...
like how society works.
Right. Well, particularly Benedict Wong's performance in this is phenomenal. He is completely interesting and enigmatic to watch the entire time. But given the fact that he's traveling around doing side deals with Saya and setting things up, it's pretty clear that everything is not exactly on the up and up.
Yeah.
Also, another good clue of that is they're in an assassin school. I feel like there's going to be a lot of trickery and twists beyond just the general darkness of what's happening there, and I'm excited to see how that plays out.
Also, there's a lot of fun moments, like the old lady who's given the student their kind of syllabus, and their weapons, and that was kind of a fun thing. Henry Rollins, really fun casting for the, and I thought it was really cool moment where it's like, okay, if he's really teaching a class about poison, and then one of the students got poisoned, I like the fact that it was like, no, we're all sitting here because you guys did this, and this is real. So I thought that was really cool.
Because he poops his pants.
Well, yeah, and he doesn't let him run away. He's like, no, we're all going to have to deal with this. So that was very cool, because if you're like going to buy into the school and this idea, I thought that would be something that makes sense for this world.
And they do a good job in that vein by with keeping the stakes high. Like when they – so they – our sort of main characters don't like this guy because he's a jerk and he is hitting on Petra, the goth, I believe. So they poison him. I was like, oh, he might be dead. Like, the stakes are high for all these characters because they live in this environment where anyone can sort of kill anyone. Yeah. When the Chico and the Soto Vados gang members are after Marcus, I'm like, oh, he could be murdered right here. Yeah. Or he might murder these other guys.
Yeah, when he asked him on a date, he doesn't mean like a real date. He means like, I want to murder you.
You know, murder date.
Yeah, about the old murder.
Has anybody ever asked you on one of those?
No, not yet. I'm still holding out, though.
He's on a couple of murder dating apps.
Yeah. I do think overall, as a fan of the book, that they got all of the casting just right. Everybody looks
right
and acts exactly correct. But to me, in a weird way, the best one of those is Victor. Victor is a very big character going forward. He's the worst kind of asshole possible. He is the bully jock, except through the lens of like Ivan Drago from the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
And he's perfect. Like, he's absolutely awful. He's absolutely terrible, and nails everything about it. I thought that was really good.
I also love the way they sort of, they map the way kids relate to each other, where even though Maria like fakes this black eye and mm-hmm. tricks Marcus into going after her ex, and then a scene later, the black eye's gone, and she's like, oh, I tricked you. I don't care. Let's make out a little bit. And it's like, yeah, they don't. In another show, we would have to deal with that lie and ramifications for at least the rest of the episode. And this is just like, deal with it or don't. Let's move on. We're in high school.
Well, yeah, it's weird. There was also like parts where I was like, holy shit, this should be a longer dealt with thing. Like, they set a bum on fire and then slow motion walk away from him, and I was just like, holy fucking shit. And it's just a little moment, and then it's the next thing. So it's like, really, they have a lot of intense moments in one episode.
It's super dark. It's super anarchic in the right way. I don't know. You watch The Magicians, right, Pete?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Great show on sci-fi. Same sort of thing with like a very dark school. This mm-hmm. goes even further there into that darkness. But it feels like a natural extension of what they're allowed to do on that show. I'm curious to see. One of the things that will keep me coming back to a show like this is if I care about all the characters.
Yeah.
Right now, I was impressed with the first episode. I thought it was incredibly well produced, very well acted. It moved very quickly through everything that happened, and it was dark in all the right ways and messed up. But I don't like anybody yet.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see whether I start to like anybody. Now, I know from the comic book, you do gravitate towards characters. There are characters who have goodness to them, but I don't think we've seen that yet.
Right. They make mistakes and are not at all remorseful. There's no remorse for a lot of the moves in this show.
Including Marcus, who is crazy messed up throughout this entire episode.
Well, you never, you know, he talks about taking a street hit off somebody else's. Oh, that was just a horrible idea. You know, never do that.
But was that accurate? I've never taken a street hit. I know both of you guys have.
Yeah, I eat a lot of street pills.
That's not a good idea.
No, it's fine. It's just on the ground.
No.
It's free.
No. Don't ever do that.
Those are pebbles.
But my gizzard is full of them.
Oh, man.
My pharmacy is the streets. And I'm feeling good.
One other cast shout-out that I'll give is Lana Condor as Saya, who I think she's this very outlying element right now. She's the object of want for Marcus. She could just be this unattainable girl, but there's a lot more going on with her, and I think Lana Condor does a fantastic job of channeling it. So I'm really curious and excited to see what happens with her character.
Yeah, to me, Jubilee is the best character so far, and she
isn't even in the show.
Her name is Laura Jean Covey.
Yeah, great.
From To All the Boys I Loved Before.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I've seen it. Don't think I haven't. But Jubilee
it's all happening.
Jubilee.
Hey, Pete, whoa, 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 right? Peter Kavinsky, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You're ridiculous. Yeah, Jubilee might be the best character out of all of them so far.
Oh, what do you think? Who's your favorite character?
Favorite
so
characters?
Far?
Should we do our superlatives?
We can, but just I am curious about your favorite character.
Right? I really like Maria. As a character,
dude, she straight up lied. She faked having a black eye.
We just talked about how that's sort of part of it. And I like Willie.
Wait, the cast, the guy with the cast?
No, that's Billy.
That's Billy. Oh, that's Billy. Okay. I understand why you confuse that. I like Billy too.
Yeah, I don't like Billy. I like Willie.
Cool. Willie seems like he does have a conscience.
Yeah,
conscience.
Here's what I think. I think that's going to be to his detriment going forward. I think you can't have a conscience at a place like King's Dominion. And I think, I don't know. We'll see, because it seems like already the TV show is going to be very different than how things go in the comic. But I don't think that's going to turn out very well for him.
I like the British dude with spiky hair. I like Petra.
Like everybody.
I like everybody.
Who was Petra?
She is the goth.
She's the goth.
Okay, good. I was hoping she wasn't the Dixie girl who gets beat and then licks the blood and then she's like, yeah, I'm a Nazi.
She has
what's
a very
up?
Flirty nosebleed.
I think the guy really with the spiky hair is Lex. I think that's Lex.
Spiky hair, yeah.
I like the roof gang. Everything feels like a school. I think it's great. Let's get into superlatives. What are your superlatives for the episode? I'll start. Most likely to shit himself is Victor. I'm going to throw that out there.
You think it's going to continue? It's an ongoing colon problem?
I think every week.
That would be crazy if
it just kept running happening.
Like, honestly, guys, stop poisoning me with laxatives.
I would love that. That would be a great TV show. That's good TV.
Let's see. Class clown makeup, Maria, because she's gonna. I feel like she's gonna continue her Day of the Dead look.
Class clown. That's kind of racist to call it that. I think.
Is it?
What?
I don't
think it's racist.
Why is that racist?
Because he's calling it clowns. He's saying like they're clowns for wearing that makeup.
Oh my god!
Clowns. Do they look like clowns to you?
No, they're very,
are they here to amuse
that
you?
That makeup is very scary.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Day of the Dead style.
Pete, superlative.
Let's see. Most likely to get killed. It's got to be the guy with the arm and the brace. I want him dead so fast. I really wish he would die.
Why do you not like Billy? You mean Jesse Blaze Snyder?
Oh, don't say that. Jesse Blaze Snyder is awesome.
No, I like both of them. I like Billy. I like Jesse Blaze Snyder, but
they're not the same person.
I'm not saying they're the same person.
It seems like you're saying they're the same person.
They look you're like, saying because he has like spiky hair and is a cool dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and, I'm not saying anything bad.
Jesus, this got very weird for a second. Yeah. What are you intuiting for this?
Pete. So most
page.
Which
arch enemy of Rick Remender?
The clique that I most want to die is the Dixie mob.
Just because they're white supremacists.
Yeah, I just
and
I,
clearly
I can't
set up
take
as
any more talk
very
about white supremacy.
Villainous.
It's fucking really depressing, and every time it comes up anywhere, I'm like, no, stop, please.
This is a little bit of a spoiler from the comics, but they eventually win, and it becomes a white supremacist comic. So I hope that isn't too much of a problem for you.
Oh, yeah. I can't take
it's
it.
It's very pro white supremacy.
Oh, fuck.
No, that's not true. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Deadly Cast. As mentioned, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. That's totally free. We'll talk to you about Deadly Classer, really whatever you want to talk about.
Anything.
Also, you can support our show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a bunch of fun rewards there, a secret Slack, other things like that that you could check out. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. And class dismissed!
Oh, class dismissed! Space.